Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to Bretton Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
Yes.
Yes.
It is. Your name is,
yeah, it
Cliff.
Is. Okay.
That's true.
And I'm joined by...
Chain Man Eddie.
Oh, amazing. Chain Man Eddie. You're going to get stuck into the crowd, eh?
Yeah.
I mentioned Chain Man Eddie this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I used to like his finishing move. He used to just put his head down and run into people, didn't he?
Somebody playing football trying to do a header like that. And I went, and I just went, Chain Man Eddie. And no one knew what I was talking about.
No, it's a very niche thing, I think. Like, we should explain it. It's off a game called Pit Fighter.
Yeah. It was just a fighting game, like in the wake of Street Fighter and all of that stuff, where it was essentially bare-knuckle boxing, wasn't it? And you were surrounded by a crowd that would push you back in, like bend over from his waist down and just rush at you with the top of his head.
Zinedine
Zidane style. All right. Well, welcome, Mr. Eddie, or is it Chain Man?
Thanks.
How do you prefer to be addressed?
I prefer Chain Man.
Okay, Chain Man.
That's all right
nice
with
to
you.
Have you. It's
Thanks.
Absolutely fine with me.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yes, I'm doing all right. Not too bad. Mustn't grumble. How are you?
Yeah.
I've got this memory of being a kid, right? Mm-hmm. At school, being dressed up as a Dickensian child.
Yeah.
In the school, singing Food, Glorious Food. Do you think that's a true memory or have I fabricated it? What do you think?
I think there's three options.
Right.
You fabricated it.
Uh-huh.
You were dressed up like that for a show or something. Or
it was
that
the
was,
whole school?
Or
the
that
whole
was
school
your life?
Was dressed up like that? That was me life.
Yeah.
That's not how I'd like
the
Michael
whole school
Aspel to come out.
Up like a Dickensian school? Child.
Yeah. And we're like having one lunch, which obviously wouldn't have been if we're a Dickensian child would be in the workhouse, would receive the slops. But yeah, the whole school was like having my dinner and singing Food, Glorious Food, but we're dressed up like Dickensian children.
I think we used to, in my primary school, I think we used to sing that song, so it's a possibility. Might have happened.
It is a possibility. Yeah, I think I'm sticking with it, mate. I think it did happen. If anybody did go to my school who listens to this, then... Tell us
what primary school is that?
Temple Park.
With the baths.
Well, I'm the only school with the baths.
We used to have to get a bus to your school to go through.
We were rather proud of the fact that other schools had to come to us to go in the baths and that.
Was there ever... did you ever have to wear a veruca sock?
The indignity of the veruca sock?
Uh-huh.
No. But other people used to.
Did
I
you?
Saw other people.
Did you ever have the grommets? I think we mentioned grommets.
I think you did. It might have been on the one that you've lost to the ether. That one.
Yeah,
we talked about that. But I didn't have the grommets, and I did have a Ruka once, but this
but
was in
the
senior
sock.
School. No, this was we weren't going swimming at the time, and me mum picked the veruca out of me foot with a pin. She like dug it out.
Well, what awful. A horrendous way to lodge this episode, that memory. Yeah.
Can verrucas attack any other places? I don't know. The feet?
I don't know what they are. Are they like warts of the feet?
Yeah, they get like roots.
But warts have that, right?
I don't know.
They're the wart of the feet, of the foot.
The wart of the foot?
I think that's what they are. Yeah.
Could be. Could be, like.
And do they ever trouble adults?
Don't seem to, do they?
I've never known an adult mention one.
Yeah. Stay right away from adults, the verrucas, unless the adults just keep quiet about it.
Or maybe we can file it alongside leukemia as child-only problems.
I think so. Maybe the bazooka that verruca adults.
But that's the thing. So adults must have it.
They must, yeah. But they don't allow children to bazooka their own verrucas.
No, you have to wear a skin-coloured rubber sock instead.
It would lead to some terrible discrepancies if they were allowed to do that.
You think it certainly would. Do you think it still happens now? Do they still exist now?
Verrucas are the socks.
I don't think any child. I think they go hand in hand,
Cliff.
I don't think any child in the world has a verruca in 2020.
No. Do you not? I wonder how we've eradicated the verruca.
The bazooka, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well,
what do you think about this and all? What do you think about this, right?
Okay.
Because me and the wife are having this conversation. Bath water, right?
Yeah.
As in, like, water from the bathroom. Safe to drink?
Out of the tap. You
think it's safe to drink? Yeah.
Out of the bathroom sink?
Yeah.
It's frowned upon, isn't it?
Frowned upon?
It's frowned upon.
It is.
I'm not sure why.
Were you told as a kid not to drink that water?
Don't drink that. Don't get a drink out of that.
I was because
you think it's because it's in close proximity to piss and shit.
I don't know what it is. The wife said, right, it's got something to do with plumbing. And in when we were kids, it was a different type of boiler that you would get, say, bathed in, right? Probably a dirty boiler.
Dirty boiler, yeah.
But that's why it wasn't safe to drink. But these days, plumbing's moved on and you're allowed to drink it. That's what the wife says.
Not in the likes of Greece.
I have got another question for you, actually. Would you mix espionage with the gift of chocolates?
Of course I would. It depends. What do you mean? Am I trying to deliver them?
I asked this last week, we were doing a show and I watched like old children's stuff, and on one of the things an advert came on for the milk tray man,
mm-hmm.
and I just couldn't work out what he was up to, if I'm being honest.
I think if you're gonna deliver a box of chocolates to someone, mm-hmm. you can just knock on the door.
I know.
He goes the long way around, get out. These bloody chocolates, man.
He's being chased by, you know, gunmen on skis and that, and all he wants to do is give some lass some chocolates.
I can only assume that the object of his affections is the wife or daughter of a very serious and powerful military man, and his attention is more than unwanted. And if that is the case, he should just give up the ghost.
I think he should. I think he should stop messing around with Russian oligarchs' wives. That's what I think.
He should, shouldn't he?
He should learn his lesson.
There's many a lass would just accept the gift of a box of chocolates and he could turn up in his normal clothes.
He could. There would be no need for the skis. I mean, if he came here and just started delivering chocolates to like some random lass at the Nook, there would be no need for buggies, skis, abseiling.
I mean, apart
none
from
of that, would there?
Apart from to make goodies escape.
Yeah, you'd have to be a fast runner. I mean, you'd have to outrun a pit bull.
I would make sure I had plenty of equipment with us to get out of there if I was. And also a box of milk tray, not worth the effort. I'd maybe is? Put a couple of boosts through the letterbox.
Next time, a couple of boosts drop through my letterbox, I'll start getting worried. I think. Like, would you leave a little calling card like the Moultrie man used to?
What does his say?
It's don't think it says anything. It's just a silhouette of the Moultrie man.
Yeah, it's my silhouette. Would be a sight to behold. I don't think I'd get a call back.
I don't think you would. Plus, how's the lady who loves Moultrie supposed to get back to the Moultrie man? He hasn't left his number out, just a silhouette.
Well, she loves it. Again, he doesn't need to go to all that trouble. If anything, I would have thought for the lady who doesn't realise she loves Moultrie, that's what the slogan should have been.
The lady who Moultrie is being forced upon.
The lady who has been quite reluctant to accept a box of Moultrie. So, listeners, if you hadn't realised by now, this is a jazz episode. We haven't made any notes.
No, I haven't done anything for this one.
But we are going to talk about a film. I've got some stuff to talk about. But yeah. I'm conscious that so far it's been nonsense. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the film. And I've got some stories to tell you at the end. And if anybody's still bothered, they can hear my tales of war before they drop off to sleep or whatever it is that they do.
I'm sure they'll be bothered, man.
Reach climax, drop off to sleep. I don't know. Finish reach a 5K climax. Run.
Reach climax.
Well, I don't know what might happen while people get to the end of this podcast.
Are you suggesting that people are wanking while they're listening to me and you talk? Or, God forbid, making love, as I like to call it.
Yeah, I mean, you dirty bastard. I wasn't thinking about masturbating.
Wait, are you always thinking about masturbating?
The sacred act of lovemaking, that's what I was thinking.
Is that what you think they put our dulcet tones on?
Well, do you not realise, have you never noticed that I get faster as I get to the end of this and stuff?
I don't like it. I like to start off fast and then slow down. At least that seems rapidly. To be... Yeah, it's in my old age, that seems to be happening. A little bit more often.
Well, thank
how
you
did you get it. Us into that, man?
I Jesus don't know. Christ. I've been trapped here.
You have? Doing your Derren Brown mind tricks on us again, aren't you?
The man who's got a real aversion to Derren Brown. my dad, at one point, my dad says it's all magicians. He said, didn't he?
He does. Yeah, he hates
especially Paul Daniels. So he must have loved last week's episode. Sorry, Dad. Right.
He must have done.
We'll have to make it up to him by doing an episode on Troy or something like that he can get into.
Does he like Troy?
He likes the epics.
Does he? Mm-hmm. Well, there's better epics than Troy, though.
Well,
isn't
you
there?
Can have it out with him. I'm just suggested an epic film.
Right. Do Gladiator instead of Summit.
Ah, whatever.
You read up there, Cliff.
I did, didn't I? That's my opinion on that.
Right, yeah, so we're all going to do film, aren't we?
Your suggestion this week?
It is my suggestion, yes. A film called The Gift from 2015.
Yep.
And I sort of missed this one, I think. I think I watched it a few years after that. It was like recommended. It was from my cousin, I think, who lives in Scotland. He says it was good. Okay. So like, I checked it out. But I really like it. It's a good old thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It's quite old. It reminds us of the kind of thrillers that came out in kind of mid-90s and stuff, like single white female kind of thing. I don't think it's as good as that, but it's that kind of thriller, like a home invasion. Not home invasion, but somebody... Yeah. Works their way into someone else's life, and they're not all that it seems to be. I remember seeing it getting advertised not long after I moved here. So I moved here in 2014. So in 2015, I saw a movie show where they were interviewing the stars of it. So it's although. This is what I was surprised about. I didn't realize that it was directed by Joel Edgerton, who's he's not like a superstar actor, but he's in quite a lot of stuff. You might recognize him.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a character actor. Quite interesting, I think, especially when you realize he directed this as well.
And he wrote it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's a bit of a Renaissance man. But I didn't realize at the time that this was him, because I saw the interview was with Jason Bateman, who's the other star of it, and Rebecca Hall, who plays his wife.
Yeah.
So I didn't know there was anything to do with Joel Edgerton, or maybe even in 2015, I didn't know who he was, but that might be the case.
Yeah. The thing is, the picture on the DVD, it doesn't really look like him, does it?
No, it doesn't.
He's like disguised with that goatee beard and stuff like that. But I like him. Like, I like Joel Edgerton. Everything I've seen him, and he's been really watchable, really good, you know?
Yeah, I was looking through his list of films that he's been in, and I don't think I've seen him in all that many things.
No?
I feel like I saw him in more stuff, but a lot of the films he was in, I don't think I've really seen them. Is he in Midnight Special? Is he in that?
Aye, he is in that. I like that fella.
I know you like that. Michael Shannon.
He's in the Thing prequel as well, have you? You seen that? No, which is okay.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that? It's okay. It's just the special effects are rubbish. He's in another one called Lovin' as well, which is really good. I think you'll like that one.
Okay.
And Warrior, which I was actually going to suggest instead of this film to do, but you have an aversion to one of the actors in it, so I didn't.
Tom Hardy.
What am I doing on that? Yeah. But that Warrior is really, really good.
Warrior is not what it seems to be, is it?
No. And it's got Nick Nolte in, which, if any film's got Nick Nolte in, I'm in.
I think he's a bad man.
Well, he is a bad man. He is definitely a bad man. That film. But it's brilliant, that film, anyway. So if anybody hasn't, you know, seen that.
Yeah, it really isn't what it looks like. I think, well, it is, but there's a lot more to it than two men fighting each other.
It is, and it's about UFC, and I don't even like UFC. I don't know about you. I'm a boxing fan. I like me boxing, but
I'm not bothered.
The UFC, nope, not for me. I don't like people rolling around cuddling each other on the ground.
They look like
definitely not
getting all kinds of pain in UFC. But anyway, Jason Bateman, star of Teen Wolf 2, star of Arrested Development, which we talked about last week or the week before that you haven't seen. Usually plays a kind of happy-go-lucky, everyman kind of character. But in this, he plays a little bit against type. And he's, if you're not sure who he is off any of that, he's the main guy in Ozark on Netflix, which I think has made him a bit more of a household name now. And that role in that is very similar to what he's like in this, I think. Very much inspired by it, I would have thought.
Yeah, the thing is about this film and Jason Bateman as well. Initially, you're on his side, aren't you? Initially, because the premise of the thing is that they move into a new house in LA, and they're sort of buying, you know, furniture and stuff like that for their new house, and they kind of stumble over this guy called Gordo, who is Joel Edgerton, and he says that he recognizes Simon. Who is Jason Bateman. He says that, I went to school with you and stuff like that. And he kind of sort of starts introducing himself into their lives by leaving little gifts outside the home.
He overhears the address, doesn't he, when Bateman's giving it over to get something delivered. He doesn't actually tell him where he lives, and he says he'll get his number, but I don't think he really takes his number. And you can tell there's something a bit awkward, because he says he doesn't recognise him from school. And it's a bit weird to not recognise somebody at all. And the wife's kind of says, maybe we should invite him over or something. But you can tell something's amiss, but you're not sure what. But what it seems like is that he's a bit of a weirdo from the past.
Yeah.
And he's like, Bateman's already thinking, we don't really want to be hanging around with him because he's a bit odd. And that's kind of where it goes.
Yeah, that's the way it starts. At least as an audience, that's what you yeah. you feel, do you know what I mean? Because you mm-hmm. don't know the whole story yet. But so you're on the side of this couple who basically this guy's just sort of introducing himself into the house. He's like, you know, he has dinner with them and stuff like that. And he's just trying to involve himself in their lives. And
he's
obviously,
going over,
you know,
to see the wife, doesn't he? When
when he's not home, when he knows he's not home.
Yeah.
And like you've said before, you know, that kind of sort of social interaction and stuff can sometimes be awkward. Do you know what I mean? When there's like, you know, we've talked about, you know, child's birthday parties and stuff like that, where you've got to talk to other people and things. So I think everybody can relate to that kind of awkwardness of like somebody new just turning up and it being a bit strange.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But then he just starts, you know, being friendly and sort of leaving gifts outside, doesn't he?
I think it's a bit like he's over familiar, but he mm-hmm. seems like he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the social norms of how you conduct yourself around people and around couples is not that you don't just keep turning up every day and being like, oh, I'll tune your TV in if you want or whatever. So as much as he's not doing anything wrong, really, it is
he's
the fact that
creepy.
It's like, it's just not normal that somebody would do this all the time. He's absolutely not doing anything wrong. He's just a bit, mm-hmm. bit full on. And you would imagine he's probably a bit lonely. Like that sort of comes across as at first. Because he doesn't seem that excited to see Simon, Jason Bateman's character, mm-hmm. does he? Doesn't seem like he's like, oh my God, I can't believe I've seen you after all these years. And I want to hang out with you. He's not.
Yeah, he's more shocked.
Yeah, he's more shocked that he's come back in the where they grew up.
Yeah, that's the thing. And what he does, one of the times where you've just mentioned he does turn up, he turns up knowing that Simon's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. He's taken around like a wonder of the house and stuff like that. And he's looking through various things and they find like a baby thing and stuff like that. And there's also this monkey in a box where they're just unpacking it. And the wife says to him, well, we'll have to get rid of that because Simon's got a phobia of monkeys. So he's like picking all this kind of stuff up as he's sort of speaking to them. But initially, I mean, he does, like you say, he seems awkward, you know, he seems a little bit creepy. But generally, he just seems like an okay guy, doesn't he? And then all of a sudden, kind of Jason Bateman seems to be on the turn, doesn't he? Like,
I think I would say with Jason Bateman's character is that even at the beginning of this, when you don't know the full story, he's still not very likable. There's something that makes you're not 100% on, like, with him. His wife seems okay, but there's something a little bit odd about his wife as well. But there's something you can't quite like him. And I think that's really good on Jason Bateman's side, because if you've seen him in Arrested Development and stuff like that, he's usually a really likable guy. Before you get to Ozark now, but at this point, he plays likable characters, who's the one who's always getting put upon. And it's really good from Bateman, I think, at the beginning of this, because the first half an hour, 45 minutes of the film, he really is like the good guy. There's no reason not to suspect he's the good guy, but there's just something a little bit off that in his performance that keeps you from, you think there's something not right here, but you're not sure what. And I think that's really excellent from Jason Bateman to manage to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's why they put, you know, Jason Bateman in the role as well. Yeah. The other thing that does that as well is kind of the way Joel Edgerton's kind of, you know, shot the film. There always seems to be a distance between Robin and Simon, you know, the couple. There's always distance between them. So you know that something's up. And they do mention sort of like an incident that's happened where they've previously lived. You don't immediately know what that is, but then you come to find out that it's got something to do with either drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
She refuses to have a drink and stuff like that. Yeah. So you're right, there is a distance there. And it's definitely from the actor, but I think it's from the director as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you you hear that they've been trying to have a baby but haven't had a baby. That's one of the things. Yeah. So you can kind of attribute, if there's some kind of problem with them, it's because that's obviously tense and they've had, you know, a difficult time coming to terms with that. But I would like, on the flip side of Jason Bateman, I think this is what Edgerton's done really good with his direction, is that you've got the bad guy, Gordo, who you start off thinking, well, he's all right, but there's something a little bit wrong with him.
Yeah.
Even though he's done nothing wrong. So you've got these two flip side characters, Bateman, the nice guy, who's the good guy in it, but there's something not quite right with him.
Yeah.
Gordo, who's set up as the creep, but actually isn't doing anything wrong. And you think there's got to be more to this. And I think that's what Edgerton's direction and the two performances do just so well, because you're not sure for pretty much all of the film who the good guy or bad guy is, or if they're both bad guys on some level or good guys on some level. And I think that's what's clever about it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, completely. I mean, that's a good kind of the twist as the film goes on, isn't it? That's what happens. I mean, initially you're siding with you're siding with Simon, who's the husband in the couple. This guy's just sort of turned up and he's putting himself in the life. But eventually, as the film goes on, you start disliking Simon a little more and more as it goes along. Do you know what I mean?
Things keep happening, doesn't he? He snaps at the wife. He has
like
a bit
chinks
of
in the armor.
Yeah, the facade of being this happy family man and this good loving husband start to cracks appear in it as you get on bit by bit. And some of his behavior is a bit circumspect and he's not that nice to his wife actually most of the time. And it looks like he cares more about appearances and he's always trying to protect his appearance and like stuff like that. Yeah. He's very dismissive of other people and stuff. So as it goes on, and like you say, halfway through the film, it kind of flips when you actually realize that all of this stuff has been pointing towards the fact that maybe he isn't such a nice guy and there's more to it with Gordo. And maybe it's not as simple as him not recognizing who he was when he first saw him. And there's more of a backstory than that.
Yeah, that's it. And his wife, Robin, she keeps being a little bit more suspicious as the film goes on. So as your trust of Simon sort of wavers, it's like that's happening with the wife as well.
Yeah, and
so
that's
as a viewer, that's going, you know, you're seeing it from her point of view.
Yeah.
You're almost like experiencing things the same as her.
Yeah, and I think that's another really clever way of Edgerton making this film, because she's kind of a bit part character. This is very much Bateman versus Edgerton. But like you say, she's caught in the middle. Yeah. And everything that those two characters do with each other and all this dance that they have around each other is over her. Edgerton's going to see her. He doesn't want her to see him. And like you say, you end up kind of uncovering what's going on through her eyes. And it's the bit, her, the way that she approaches it is she's not suspicious of Gordo when they first meet. She's just like, well, he's a nice guy, like he's coming around to try and help, and you're being mean, like, unless there's something you're not telling us, I don't know why you're being so mean to this guy. He just seems all right, he's a bit odd, a bit full on, but he's all right, isn't he? So she really is the eyes and ears of you, and almost. Mm-hmm. She kind of like points you in the direction of what you should be feeling. Like it is, you don't really get the chance to make your own mind up, I think, because you're following her.
I think that's true. I think definitely true that. I mean, without her, she's the kind of thing that keeps the thing going. Otherwise, it would just be this kind of, you know, the clash of two people that doesn't really make much sense. But she uncovers everything, doesn't she? And she discovers the reason for Jason Bateman's character, Simon, to sort of want to keep Gordo at arm's length.
And she also says to him, you know, she keeps saying that, you know, why he's so suspicious of him and stuff like that. Like, he seems all right. And she becomes more suspicious of Simon for not wanting to have anything to do with him than him for keep turning up and being a bit weird. And that's what's kind of the nice twist in the plot, I think. The unusual thing it about is. The plot. And it shows it's still that really distance. Well. Yeah, I think it is. It's very low-key film. Not a lot goes on. There's no kind of histrionics or anything spectacular goes on. It's very low-key performances. The way it's shot is very low key. There's only about 4 or 5 actors in the entire thing, I would say.
There is, yeah.
It's just very economically done, everything. It's on for a little bit over 2 hours. And I'm not just saying this to be funny, but I do think it could have been a bit shorter. I think there are some bits that... I think this is a perfect, like, 90, 100-minute film, but I think it's on a little bit longer than that.
I don't mind long films, mate.
Brilliant, I don't mind it, but I do think that this, with about 10, 15 minutes out of it, wouldn't have lost anything. I think you could have lost a few bits and pieces.
Well, I'm happy with the length of it, I think. That's what I'd say.
If you're happy with the length, that's fine.
I'm happy with the length. You know me, I'm happy with the length. So, yeah. And then are we going to do spoilers in this? Or
it's been out for 5 years, hasn't it? So, you know, if anybody hasn't seen the fight yet, we'd recommend you see it. If anybody wants to go and watch it now and pause this and come back to it later, then okay. But The fight.
What's the fight? That's what you said.
The gift. What's the fight? That's the song off last week, isn't it?
That's the song off last week, man.
Honestly, I've had about 6 hours sleep this week. I'm running on fumes. the gift. If anybody who hasn't seen it wants to go watch it, then do it. We'll go into what happens, but...
Well, got I don't really, think it's... The main part of it is the bullying aspect, isn't it? I think that's the main message of the film. Because what happens is it turns out that Jason Bateman's character, in his youth, has been quite a vicious bully and has bullied Gordo, among others. And obviously he hasn't changed. He's still the same type of character.
He's got this squeaky clean image now that he's grown up and got a job and is successful, so you don't kind of think it. And it's quite a nice... the point where it's kind of revealed, you obviously are working out as it goes on, actually he's a bit of a dick, this guy. The way he's talking to his wife's not on, really. The way he's dismissing Gordo's not on. He's a bit mocking of him. And if he is just a guy that is kind of, he's pretended to have a good job and he hasn't got a good job and he's just trying to be friends and stuff like that, he's really not on the way Bateman's like dismissing him and stuff. And like the way he talks to his wife and stuff like that. So you can say that that's all bullying, but as an adult, you don't think of adults as being bullying as readily as if you're a kid, right? So I thought the point of when she goes to see an old school friend and says, look, just tell us what happened here. Something obviously happened. And he basically says, look, Simon was a bully when we were kids. Yeah. And he did this. And that's why Gordo's like he is. You don't really know what went on. It's weird. It kind of made...
Well, you know bits. Because he's made up a story that Gordo was in this car and being molested by some guy. Mm-hmm. And it's completely fabricated. They've completely made it up. And Gordo's life's been destroyed by this. His father has tried to kill him. Because he's sort of, thinks that he's gay or whatever. So it's really sort of destroyed his life. And obviously, Jason Bateman's character could have said, look, I made it up.
I'll tell you the reason he's a bit weird and the reason I didn't want to say anything is because when we were kids, this happened to him and he really fucked him up. Obviously, he's perpetuating the lie that he told when he was a kid that really affected Gordo and ruined his life. Now, at this point, you don't really know whether Bateman is that. I think he doesn't realize to what extent it affected Gordo and ruined his life because...
I don't think he cares.
I think he didn't care because he's a bully. He bullied him. yeah, got a bit of a laugh, and then he moved on and did something else and whatever. He, one of those guys that thought he had respect of people, but really they were just scared of him, so they didn't, he didn't bully them. So I don't think he realized or cared like what happened to Gordo. So when he came back into his life, as much as I don't think he didn't recognize him at all, he probably didn't even think about the extent of what this guy might be feeling towards him for what he did to him at school.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, that's the impression that you get. He's just so involved in himself, isn't he, Jason Bateman? I mean, there's a part as it goes along where he's up for a promotion, and this kind of shows that he's still got this bullying aspect
that's his a good
personality. Where he just kind of takes out his rival for the promotion. He kind of fabricates lies about him and spreads
he learns
around
that it's between him and somebody else. And he's like, oh, who's that other guy again? He writes his name down. Next thing you know, he's got the promotion. And there's a good bit towards the end, because it skips on a little bit, doesn't it? You think it's all over.
Yeah.
And then it moves on like a year later or whatever. And you think Gordo's come back to have a go.
But it's not Gordo, is it?
It's this guy that he screwed over to get the job. And it just goes to show that he's the same now as he was then. And in fact, there's not just one person that might be going to break his window because he screwed him over. It could be anyone from any point. I mean, how many times have they moved because of something similar? Is his wife?
Yeah, you don't know.
Is his wife like being? Has he ended up putting it on his wife and blaming her when really?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has. I mean, the wife's, you know, she hasn't really got a life, has she? She's just in the house by herself. Running.
And he's like telling that to go running.
The way that, you know, he's speaking to her and stuff like that, there's a part where he shushes her. And
yeah,
it's like,
it's not on, is it?
Really creepy. No.
Yeah, it's not on. I mean,
it's awful. So
and he
I
has
mean,
a go at her when she's...
He has, like, a terrible effect on, like, you know, obviously, you know, his wife. She's an alcoholic and she's taking pills and stuff
like
that.
You don't know the extent.
I think he's the blame.
I
you
feel don't, it,
but you can,
I feel
you can assume... You can surmise, can't you, from watching the film?
I feel like he's maybe, you know, I think it's about coercive control in as much as his wife's concerned. I think he's probably made her feel like she's an alcoholic, made her get onto tablets to...
Yeah, maybe.
Like she's depressed probably because he's a terrible husband. She's turned to drink because he's been a terrible husband. He's made out more of it than it is. Made her feel bad about it. Said, "Oh, we're gonna have to move somewhere." Like,
yeah,
I say,
that's what I meant. I mean, it's obviously, like I say, his sort of influence that has sort of almost destroyed his wife, which he can't see it not yet anyway. But this sort of experience with Gordy and stuff like that's opened her eyes to the person that he is. I mean, obviously, she had no idea he was like that at all, did she?
No, and she says, like, I've realized I don't really know who you are. But the bit I thought where that guy said, look, he's a bully, it just made me think, that's weird, isn't it? Because as an adult, you go, you work, let's say you work with somebody you work with, somebody I work with, you would have no idea whether they were a bully when they were a kid at school and what they got up to or whatever, you know, like when it just made I thought that was it kind of got under the skin a little bit when that bit happened. It was a little moment between a character that was in it for about 5 minutes, but I thought it really got under the skin. Like, actually, you don't really know who people are, do you? Or where, or what they're like. I thought that was a clever bit of the film, and that's what the film was about, I think.
Yeah, it's a clever bit. I mean, you know, if anybody, you know, was like that when they were younger, they've got a choice that they can either evolve, they can move on, you know, they can change the way that they behave, or like Jason Bateman's character in this film, they just stay the same. And obviously, you know, Jason Bateman's character has done that, and he's completely destroyed his wife's life and Gordo's life in the past, and he ends up destroying his own, doesn't he?
I think the difference as you get older, it can be explained away or almost accepted. When you're a kid and you're a bully, you're another kid, you're picking on them, a helpless kid. I'm a kid, you're a kid, I pick on you, you get upset, I get told off, or I don't, maybe, or whatever. As an adult, bullying behavior is much more subtle, and it's much more easy to hide or you know, dress up as something else. And I think that's kind of that's what a really interesting aspect of this film is for me, the difference and the effects of bullying, whether it's on a kid or an adult, how you can get away with it as a kid or as an adult, and you know, what the effect it can have on people. Obviously in this film, in the end, Jason Bateman gets found out.
He does. He gets found out. Yeah. It kind of unravels as that the guy that he screwed over for the promotion, when he turns up at his house, it all seems to unravel then. But Gordy, who has been obviously throughout this film, he's been doing various things. He's been, because there's a part in the film where Robin sort of collapses, and you kind of think yourself, well, is that because she's sort of taking these pills again, or is there something else up?
Yeah.
And it turns out that there's something else up, and Gordy's been, he's got a key to the house. The dog goes missing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I mean, he's not without blame, that's for sure. But
it's revenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I think it's unfair to bring Robin into it. I think that's why he's.
Yeah, no, I get that. That is true, but that's the only way, I guess, that he could actually have done it. I don't know.
That's how he's getting revenge on Bateman, because Bateman's.
But then that's the only way he could find out about who he was, I guess. Yeah. You know, Robin was like the doorway into his life again. You know, that's where he got all the information.
Vulnerable spot. Yep.
Simon. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, he eventually gets his comeuppance, and like we said, Gordy has been breaking in. Yeah, Robin collapses because Gordy's drugged her and stuff like that. And there's also this part where you're not too sure whether Gordy has raped Robin or not, because he sent him a sort of DVD at the end. But I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
Honestly, I didn't think that at all. I didn't get that.
No. Because, I mean, the whole plot at the end is whether the baby, because Robin's pregnant,
is whether the baby is his or not.
And that's
That, but I think that was like, I think that's one reading of it, and I think that's a very obvious kind of, oh no, that's what Bateman's thinking, I think. But I don't think it's actually a possibility.
No, well, it would be out of character for him to do that, wouldn't it?
It would be an awful, awful, like, Robin's being punished from all angles. If that was the case, I don't think that's
all good films. It doesn't spell it out for you. It doesn't.
But I think that's what he wants Bateman to worry about. I don't think that's really the thing.
No, I don't think that he did that either. I definitely don't. So the tables have been turned on Mr. Bateman, and he starts. Life's up Schitt's Creek.
His house of cards start tumbling.
To fall, They've all been based on lies anyway, haven't they? You know?
Exactly. So get his comeuppance.
He does. He does. I like this film, mate. I think it's really, really good.
I think it's good. Like I say, it's understated. It's a good thriller. It's like, you don't really get many films like this anymore, I think. It's like not big box office special effects. It's not a franchise. It's not a sequel or a reboot. It's not jump scare horror. You know, it's not an art house movie. It's the type of film that Hollywood used to do really well when, like, VHS rentals were a thing, like in the 90s and stuff like that. And I think it's all the better for it, for being that kind of low key.
I do.
Like I said, don't know much about Joel Edgerton, but once I looked into this and I saw he's directed a couple other things, it just made us think, actually, maybe I should try and seek out some more of his films.
Yeah, you should. I always enjoy him. Whenever he's in a film, he pops up here and there and that, and I always enjoy his performances. So, I'd definitely check him out. I think I've seen most of them, actually, that he's in, to be honest. Don't think I've seen Red Sparrow. I don't think I've seen that.
The hell's Red Sparrow?
It's like a spy film, Russian spy film.
Oh, is it? Has it got Charlize Theron? Or was one of them Jennifer Lawrence, that one? There's a couple of them came out at the same time. Didn't they?
That's right. I haven't seen that one, but most of the other ones I've seen, like The Thing and stuff.
Well, and definitely it recommend it.
It Comes at Night, is that?
It Comes at Night is a film, I think. Yeah.
That's it. But that one's good, from what I remember. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, watch it, even though we told you to switch it off if you haven't seen it.
Come back.
I've got a quiz. Also, we've got a new rating on iTunes.
Oh, so yeah, I'll read that out.
Yes, uh-huh. It is from Luke Williamson, who we know from the Mariners.
Yes, nice.
And he writes, these chaps are like Mortimer and Whitehouse, Coogan yes. and Bryden, or Lance and Andy. Brett and Cliff leave you feeling cozy, comfortable, and seemingly at home, as though listening to your mates going off on tangents that you never knew existed or could make good pod content. In fact, some of the content may be questionable pod content on second thoughts, but these chaps make it enjoyable, and they even played that great little band, The Mariners, a few weeks didn't we? Back. We did indeed. So thank you, Luke, mate.
Thank you. That. I would say some of the content's just questionable full stop, not necessarily just for a podcast.
Yeah, it is. But we like it that way, don't we? There's nothing better than questionable content.
That's fair. Basically, that's at the top of my CV.
Yeah, I'm a proprietor of questionable content.
That's Do you want questionable content? Then I'm your man. In fact, I don't even have a CV. I send people a podcast.
I'd buy that for a dollar. That's what I'd say.
Well, that's nice of Luke.
We do have a quiz. The Come quiz on, is about movie bullies.
I'm getting really bitten by mosquitoes here.
Oh, I hate mosquitoes. It's movie bully quotes, okay. To be precise.
Hello.
If you don't get one of them
shoes are untied.
Here,
I bet that's
it. It's not in there. But if you don't get one of them, then you're gonna be devastated. Cool. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Who said that? And what fellow?
I think it's Biff Tannen in Back to the Future.
Well, you are damn right with that.
Yes.
Damn right.
Tom Wilson.
I wouldn't let you sleep in my room if you were growing on my ass.
Don't like that.
It's a Christmas film.
Home Alone.
Yeah. Do you know what the guy's name is? Who says it?
Uncle Buck.
Nope. Buzz. It's Buzz.
Okay, Buzz.
Right. I don't think you'll get this one right.
Okay, excellent.
I've handled your kind before. Your mommy used to steal chickens out of the backyard until I blew her head off with a shotgun.
So that's just an awful fact.
It is an awful fact. Do you know who the bully is? You're not going to get it. You can have a guess. I'll give you clues.
Okay.
It is. That's the first clue.
Okay.
Michael J. Fox is in it.
Oh, how many J. Fox is always a bully, isn't it? J. Fox is always getting bullied. Nobody calls me chicken or yeller. But it's the same, yellow right? That happens in Back to the Future and in Teen Wolf, where somebody's that
right.
The same thing, doesn't it?
Is it Teen Wolf? Mick McAllister.
Why are people always trying to bully Michael J. Fox? Is it because he's an adult but he's still at school?
That might be it. Maybe it was because in this particular instance he was a wolf playing basketball. Why would a wolf be a good basketball player?
Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. I've got no idea. Come on, Walsh. We don't have all day. There's 50 more houses to tear down after yours. 80s, Spielberg, Richard Donner. It's Troy from The Goonies. Troy's the bully in The Goonies.
Okay. I'm not bothered about it.
No. You see, I was not bothered when you don't get it. Think my name's funny, do you? No need to ask yours. Red hair and a hand-me-down robe.
Robe?
robe. That gives it away.
Does it? Is it a bathrobe?
Yeah. No. More like a school type robe.
Okay.
Remember when we met them two people in London and I was having a right go at them and you were saying, no, man, they're canny lads. And they were dressed as bats.
Capes.
With robes on.
Yeah, the capes. Capes,
aye. They were them. So who do you think it is?
Batman.
No, it's Malfoy of Harry Potter.
Oh, I like Malfoy as well.
And we're going to be doing a few Christmas episodes, aren't we, soon? And my idea is to do Bob Dylan's Christmas album. What do you think of that? You know,
100% do that. Yeah, I think, we've got one more November episode left after this, and then all through December we'll be doing Christmas stuff. Can't wait.
Yeah.
I love Christmas stuff. That'll
be fantastic. I love Christmas.
Christmas horrors, obscure Christmas films, Bob Dylan Christmas album. Maybe we'll do an episode on that and other obscure Christmas songs or alternative Christmas stuff. Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Christmas, my favorite time of year. Absolutely love it. Can't wait for it.
Definitely. And
we're still going to do Boxing Delights.
Can we find
Box of Delights, see if we can do it.
Great. What we need to try and do as well is get a band to do a Christmas song for.
Okay.
Any of them?
Yeah, let's try. We'll put a shout out and I'll message a few people.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. But we don't have Christmas music this week, do we, Cliff?
No.
No.
We have more kind of 80s synthy stuff. Vangelis kind of stuff. I think this is absolutely great. North Innsbruck from Minneapolis. Minneapolis, is that all right?
Yeah, I like the word Minneapolis. Yeah. It's a good word.
Also,
isn't
it? The hometown of Prince, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yes, indeed. I wonder if all the residents of Minneapolis have had their ribs taken out so they can perform fellatio on themselves. I doubt it.
Allegedly.
That's my only Prince fact that I know about.
Is it a fact, though? I mean, who's... Well, does any doctor perform the operation, remove a rib? I don't think they do.
Unless they're God. Is that what you mean?
Apart from God, we don't know anybody.
Doctor God.
Hey, I'd like to see Dr. God. I'd like to have a rib removed.
Well, what do you want that for?
Let me just play every instrument. I'll tell you why. Over 3 CDs. Well, Minneapolis. That's nice, isn't it? Prince reference. North Innsbruck. I loved this. Really loved it. Do you want to tell us a little bit more?
This one's called Aurora, and it features Galaxy 80. And I really like this as well. It's really, really good. Obviously, it's inspired, like you've said. But yeah, give it a listen because we like this one.
Yeah, cool. It'll come on in while we're talking about this, while we say our goodbye. So follow us on Twitter at FCircusPod. You can join the Facebook group where you will basically see what my dad thinks of every episode. Not much else going on in there at the moment. But we would like more, and more people can interact with me dad. So that's good. Like, we should do that. And you can like and subscribe this episode, this series, our podcast on everywhere from Acast, Apple, Amazon, other things beginning with A, all kinds of places. So do that, subscribe, leave us a review if you want. We are Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus, and this is North Innsbruck. See you later. Bye. Peace out. Peace out, player.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone has that one goal, that thing they want to prove. Not to other people, but to themselves. Then right when you think you could actually do it, cancer. And that goal is still within reach. Oh no, I'm about to run my first ever marathon with my two best friends. 3 years after having cancer.
At least we look good in these shorts.
Woo! Let's get it, guys. You, keep making plans.
Visit OhioHealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.